Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is May 4th, 2016. May the 4th be with you. And with me, I have Kelly Gamont. How are you, Kelly?
I'm doing well, Jeff. Happy Star Wars Day.
Happy Star Wars Day. John Martellaro, how are you?
I am actually your father.
No!
Actually, I would believe that because he wears those calf-high socks with the garters, and he tells me to get out of his yard a lot and to turn that down.
There's also a hand. Did you bring the hand?
Secrets, Kelly?
There was also a hand.
Anyhow, hey, we have a sponsor today. That sponsor is Yoink from Eternal Storms. And yay! Yeah, it's pretty cool. I'll talk about that soon. But first, I want to talk about this new patent that Apple has. And so it's a patent that describes a system where you can use a network of iOS devices that act as a coordinated in-home smoke and other whatever sensor detector system. So basically, it's a Apple networked smoke detector, and clearly, I already need to nudge Kelly and wake her up. Sorry, what the problem is, Kelly? You don't have a HomeKit connected carbon monoxide detector.
I don't have a HomeKit connected anything because trying to connect to HomeKit that way lies madness.
You know, I'm with you. And I was thinking about this whole patent, and my first thought when I see a new patent from Apple is, that's interesting. I wonder how that's going to be used. When I saw this patent, my first thought was, I will never buy an Apple-made HomeKit-connected smoke detector because I don't want to die.
And here's the problem. And you guys have listened to me beat the HomeKit drum for lo these many years. So here's really what it comes down to, okay? We have some devices in our house that are managed by other systems, but are HomeKit compatible, whatever that's supposed to mean. And so what it seems like this means is that somewhere magically in some sort of deep preference pane, which you only get to if you are using particular apps that allow you access to this, you have to set up a house on your phone. You have to set up, here's a house and I'm going to manage this house. And I'm the owner of this house, so I have privileges on this house that nobody else can ever possibly have. But I can invite someone else to share in controlling this house with me. And it's one of those weird things like iPhoto shared photo stream invitations. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not really easy to send one unless you happen to be in exactly the right place and the moon is in the second house or something. And, you know, you can never send them if Mercury's in retrograde. And,
oh, man, I know.
Isn't it the worst? So we have this in our house, and not understanding anything about it, not being able to find anything that clearly describes that this is what's going to happen. I have a house on mine that I have invited Mr. Kelly to, and Mr. Kelly has a house on his that he's invited me to. And so nothing works the way it should. There's no way to really administer any of this stuff. There's no HomeKit preference pane where I can go, you know what? None of the stuff that's added in here is working like it should. I'm just going to delete it all and start over again and let it build a new network, and maybe that will help. And none of those things are possible. I can't do anything with the non-life, like anything that's supposed to actually save my life is not involved in HomeKit at all. I can't get HomeKit to reliably turn on the light in the bedroom.
You know, if I hadn't been using HomeKit myself, I would start asking you all these questions about, well, did you try this? Did you try this? Because maybe you missed this thing and maybe there's this other problem.
But we've met.
And my HomeKit experience, yes, we've met. And you are incredibly brilliant. And your ability to work through technical issues is just astounding. And so I know if you're having a problem, there's just a problem. But I can also validate you and back that up by saying, I have similar problems. HomeKit is this crapshoot for me. And yes, I know I've got a setup that's just begging for trouble. I have several Hue lights, mm-hmm. and I have the HomeKit compatible Hue bridge. Mm-hmm. Then I have Lutron's Cassetta smart outlets. So mm-hmm. you plug lights into these, and so then you can remote control and HomeKit control lights that otherwise wouldn't be HomeKit ready.
Similar to a Wemo.
Yeah, similar to
a switch in a way. Okay.
Yeah, similar to a Wemo, but it's HomeKit compatible and it's mm-hmm. just for lights. Mm-hmm. And but then I have two Wemo switches and I also have an Ecobee. So mm-hmm. everything that I have except the Wemo switches is actually HomeKit capable. Mm-hmm. I ultimately pulled my Ecobee off of HomeKit mm-hmm. because I needed to have it actually work for me.
Yeah.
And
that's been my experience yeah. as well, is I can't use HomeKit for anything I want to actually use.
Yeah. It's very unreliable turning things on and off. I never know what's going to happen. And half the time I have to go to the product's own app to mm-hmm. shut off whatever it is or turn on whatever it is. HomeKit for me through Apple TV just stopped working a few months ago, and that's it. It just no longer works.
Right, and there's no troubleshooting for this, which is the thing I was worried about with HomeKit all along, was that HomeKit was going to become something like iCloud. And I know that people are going to think that I'm being snide, but this is actually it. If you need to troubleshoot iCloud, it doesn't matter what the problem is you're having. It doesn't matter what app you're using. It doesn't matter if you're on your Mac or on your iPhone or on your iPad or on your other iPad or on your other iPhone. It matters not. Here's the only troubleshooting method that you have for yeah. fixing anything in iCloud. Turn off iCloud everywhere. Wait half an hour. Turn it on in one place. See what happens. That's all you can do. And I know I sound like I'm being flippant IT crowd fan person by telling you this, but it is literally the only troubleshooting mechanism that you have. There's no error message. There's no log file. There's no discernible issue. Like, you just will find out that your contacts don't sync anymore or something.
I have a question.
And it's super frustrating.
As a consumer-oriented person who's not really into this, I've uh-huh. often felt that, as you guys have just described, it's not ready for prime time.
Absolutely
not. There are security
not.
Issues. Why can't Apple make this work? As a company as large as Apple, who obviously has an interest in home automation, why can't Apple just figure the whole thing out, roll it out, and deliver it to us with a bow around it?
Honestly, my theory is this. The people who are the HomeKit people, the people who are working on this, I get the feeling, and I'm not trying to draw any sort of parallel here, but I get the feeling they're people like me. I actually enjoy getting to the bottom of the problem and fixing it. I enjoy cracking the nut once I finally figure out that there's a problem, and I enjoy being able to do that. That's not a consumer experience. This is the reason that I have not given this kind of stuff to my parents. There's a reason my parents don't have a Hue Hub. There's a reason my other parents don't have a Hue Hub, or my in-laws, or anybody else. And it's because doing stuff like this and all of the stuff that's supposed to make it easier isn't easier. And until it gets to the point where my mom can take out her phone and say, turn off all the lights, I'm not gonna set her up with that, because it's not gonna be easier for her.
Isn't this what Apple's famous for? Making hard yes. things easy?
Yes, but yes. I feel like the HomeKit people are people like me, and they must not know any regular people who just want it to work. You know, people who are completely happy for the VCR to blink 12 are not going to be the people who are going to be completely happy to have to walk into some sort of mystery preference panel on their phone and set up a house and then invite people to it. Like, it's just dumb. And I want to know what happened to all the smart people at Apple, because I really think they took all of the people who had the good ideas and the breakthroughs and the streamlining, and they put all those people on the car. And that's why iTunes never gets any better. And that's why Apple Music didn't have a great interface to begin with and does not appear to have improved much lately, regardless of rumor. And that's why we got the new stuff in an old phone body when they decided to give us a new phone earlier this year. I feel like all of the, and I hate when people say this kind of stuff, but I'm not feeling like refinement is high on Apple's radar right now.
Yeah, I agree.
And what I want is refinement. I don't want, don't give me another watch. Make the one I have awesome. Don't give me a new iPad. Make the one I have awesome. Don't give me another, don't give me any of this other stuff. Take what I have and make it really good.
I'm hearing that from my readers when I talk about OS 10, that they, yeah, the idea that it just works seems to be gone.
Yeah. And, you know, that was one of the things that kept Mr. Kelly from pulling the trigger was he was fighting with iTunes on his Windows machine like a year ago or so, because I think he's had a Mac for about a year. He was fighting with it, with iTunes, and he looked at me and he said, if you can honestly say to me that iTunes is better on a Mac, I will buy a new computer tomorrow. And I couldn't.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, okay, so you have Mr. Kelly. I'm not married, so I guess that means I have Lady Jeff.
Yes.
And I have not I have not invited Lady Jeff to control my HomeKit devices.
Mm-hmm. Don't.
Because I love her and don't want to put her through that.
Yeah, it's, that's why I said don't.
Yeah, it's just much easier when she says, hey, can we dim the lights in the living room? And I say yes, and then I spend a couple minutes figuring out why it didn't work this time, and then eventually the lights dim.
Now I can do it directly. Like I'm pretty good at managing the lights at my house because I have loads of Hue lights, and I have some of the strips and the whole thing. So I'm pretty good at managing those directly in the Hue app, which also has some glaring shortcomings of its own.
Boy, howdy!
But there's a new one out. That seems to be nicer. It lets you group things in a room, which is super handy.
We're going to have to talk because...
Yes, we do.
Because that new Hue app...
Uh-huh.
I'm stymied. And maybe I'm just being slow, but I started playing with that, and I'm like... what I said, I actually can't say right now because I don't want to have to put an explicit tag on recording today's show. Yeah. And I want to make sure that everyone knows it's still only John that I've had to censor on the show.
Still me.
Yeah.
The one and only.
Yes.
And I would like to point out that everyone went out of their way to make sure that I reined it in when we were recording, and yet the only person who ever needed to be edited was Dad Vader over there.
Yep.
I owe Jeff lunch next time I'm up there.
I'm looking forward to it. Yeah. But, okay, so the point is, now that this has turned into the Jeff and Kelly rant show, is that Apple has not instilled the confidence in us that we need to feel comfortable buying a device from them that actually has life or death implications.
Not a question. It's not going to happen. And it's because there needs to be a fundamental HomeKit change in order to make this work. And I will point out, I do have a smartphone-enabled smoke detector in my home. Smoke and carbon monoxide. And when it goes off, it comes to my phone and alerts me that it has gone off. And you know, it does so reliably, and there's no HomeKit involved in it in any way, shape, or form, and it works 100% of the time.
Yeah, there's another issue here, Kelly. From my perspective, if one was going to engage in this technology, you would have to undo a lot of things and rewire a lot of things and give up, you know, the old carbon monoxide detectors that are plugged into a wall outlet, mm-hmm. and do a lot of rewiring and then depend on this system. And as you said, Jeff, that's a big leap. And when you make all that commitment, it better work.
Yeah, if you're going to make that kind of commitment, what you need is a good payoff on the tail end. Meaning, mm-hmm. once you've pulled out the old gear, you've put all the new stuff in, and you've added it all to your network, that now you have an easy to use, intuitive interface for managing all of this stuff, and it all works reliably.
So
we talked about that last year, where you had a display on your TV during the daytime when you're not watching soap operas, and you have your big screen TV, and it's just like this information center where it displays the status of the house, sort of like uh-huh. Audio Hijack, where it shows the data flows and things that are working yeah. and everything. And you just have this glorious app that manages the whole thing. You have one center, one place for logs, one place for debugging, one place for seeing the whole picture.
So here's the thing. Here's the thing that we did. First of all, at my house, it was a hardwired smoke detector. And the smoke detector that we replaced was one that came with the house. So its time had certainly come because our house was built in the 70s. And so when we decided to replace it, we needed to replace it with a new smoke detector. And we looked at a bunch of them, and the one that we bought was from First Alert, a company who has made smoke detectors and carbon monoxide detectors for many, many years. And so what they have done is taken their known quantity of we build smoke detectors, and they added to it this little bit of brain that gives it the ability to let my phone know whether or not the alarm has gone off. And that for me was the difference. I didn't buy one from a new nerd company. I didn't buy a Nest Protect for a reason. And because they are a technology company that happens to make a smoke detector. What I did was I bought a smoke detector from a company that makes smoke detectors that will also happen to push a notification to my phone if I so desire. And if I don't, it still works just like a regular smoke detector. The advantage is that I will get notified if I'm not home and it goes off. And that's the difference. So that's really, for me, that was the deciding factor. I wasn't going to buy a smoke detector from a company that I didn't feel comfortable knew a whole lot about them. And so I don't mind if the alert system doesn't work 100% because the smoke detector's solid. I have absolute faith in that. As much faith as I can have in any sort of, you know, smoke detector, carbon monoxide detector. I have that in something I bought from a company whose whole job that is. So the fact that it will alert my phone if I'm not around is just a bonus. And yep. I feel like there needs to be more of that. A company that already makes thermostats, a company that already makes smoke detectors. For example, I have a Wi-Fi enabled Honeywell thermostat. Didn't buy a Nest, mostly for the price, but also managed to get a highly serviceable, super useful thermostat that I can control with my phone from a company that knows a thing or two about thermostats. So mm-hmm. I feel like that's the approach that a lot of people need to take and really need to stop and think about before they make these kind of decisions.
Yeah. And which brings us back to, I wouldn't be comfortable buying an Apple branded smoke detector. Now we have more we'll see if we can get to today. But
we'll
listeners,
talk really fast about the second part.
Yes. So listeners, I'm really curious, how do you feel about Apple potentially getting into the market of monitoring the safety of our homes? And I want to know what you think. Hit me up on Twitter. That would be at TMO Daily. Shoot me an email. That would be observations@macobserver.com, or leave comments in the show notes, because I'm curious if you think that Kelly and I are off base here, or if we really have cause to be concerned about buying these types of products. Okay, now I said earlier that we have a sponsor today, and that sponsor is Yoink from Eternal Storms. And we've spent a lot of time today ranting about technology that doesn't work. So I'm going to balance it now with technology that just does. So Yoink is an app that you put on your Mac, and what it does is it adds this kind of repository place where anything that you need to copy or move somewhere else can just sit. And when I first started playing with it on a 34-inch display, my thought was, I can line up windows all day long. I can move files between them. It's not a big deal. This isn't going to be that useful of a utility. And I was wrong, because what I found is that I oftentimes am moving groups of files around as part of a project. You know, the daily files that I'm working on need to move at the end of the day. And then throughout the day, I'm working on different graphics and different articles. And so I'm copying and pasting content and moving elements from images to other images. And what I found was that this was like the place that I needed, where I could just put stuff on the shelf while I'm getting the other stuff, and it's all just there. And then I can move it back out where I need it when it's time. It's awesome. It's simple. It's really easy to use. And I am so glad that I found out about Yoink, because I am really enjoying having it on my computer. And just earlier today, it became one of those things where I was having trouble moving content into a folder. And And ultimately, I realized the problem was there was an issue with my Wacom tablet I was using as an input device. That's not the point. The point was that I couldn't actually move a file into a folder. And it was a file I had just downloaded from the internet, so it's sitting in the little Safari downloads drop-down mm-hmm. menu thing. So what I ended up doing was dragging it from the Safari drop-down menu into Yoink, and it just pops up like this little drawer on the side of my screen. Then I was able to get to the folder that I needed to and move it in. And it saved me actually several minutes of messing around with stuff, trying to figure out why things weren't working, because it did just work. It was
That's
awesome.
Great.
Yes.
Awesome.
So, okay. So you need to check it out. It's eternalstorms.at/yoink. No, actually, no, don't do that one. Go to, I actually have a different URL, which will let them know that you heard about it from here on Daily Observations. So what you want to do is go to eternalstorms.at/TDO. And that's great because that gives everyone a little bit of validation because it lets the Yoink people or the Eternal Storms people know you heard about Yoink here.
Yeah.
There you go. That's just what you need to do. So it's $6.99. And when you get to the Yoink webpage, you'll end up with a link that takes you to the app store so you can just download it. There's a video on the page so you can see how it works. It's really cool. So that is eternalstorms.at/TDO. Go check it out. And thank you, Eternal Storms and Yoink, for being our sponsor today. And
yes, thank you very much.
Yes. And so we were going to hop on to another topic that's going to be a rant, but I'm changing that now because there's a likelihood partway through me talking about Yoink, you started to hear background noise. And if you did, well, that background noise was my air conditioner turning on. I point this out because this is a perfect example of why I stopped using HomeKit. What I did was I had to buy a window air conditioner to fit in my place. And to get the size that I needed, it's not really programmable. It has an on-off dial, and it has a second dial for the temperature. And it's like 1 to 12, which means that it goes even louder than 11. And so effectively using this air conditioner was really difficult. So I put it on a Wemo switch, and my initial plan was to use HomeKit to control this, which actually wouldn't work because it's on a Wemo switch. But I thought maybe I could find a way to make this work. But what I ended up having to do to get everything to work reliably was take my Echobee off of my HomeKit network, mm-hmm. and then I'm using If This Then That.
Yeah.
So If This Then That watches the remote sensor for my Echobee. When the temperature gets above 73, it tells the Wemo switch to activate, which turns on the air conditioner. And when the temperature drops below 71, it tells it to shut off. And it works flawlessly. I mean, it's beautiful how easy it is. The problem is, setting it up was one of those things that my parents wouldn't feel comfortable with, but I was okay with it. And so it's still not for the average person, but for us, for listeners of the show, it's totally something you can do. And I never think about it, unlike HomeKit, where every time I go to do something, I wonder if it's going to work. All right. So with that, now we have to wrap up. And Kelly, thank you for being here today.
And thank you very much for having me. And again, a happy Star Wars Day to you and to all of our listeners. I'm a sucker for a terrible joke. And as an added bonus, it's a Star Wars themed terrible joke. So that makes me really happy.
Yeah. Yes. And John or Dad Vader, thank you for being here today.
Here.
And no, really, there was a hand. Did you bring it? Listeners, thank you for joining us. It's always great to have you here. Yoink, thank you for being our sponsor. Head over to their website, eternalstorms.at/TDO. Check out Yoink, and $6.99, well spent. It's turned out to be a really useful tool for me. Thanks for being here, everyone. We'll see you again tomorrow.